story, we're getting that, didn't support the way they should have supported when the changes were coming in their area. Mm-hmm. So, but we got there, 1,300 square feet. They had 1,500 movies. By the time 2000 came along, we had almost 15,000 movies inside that store. And so it just got to a point where we couldn't grow. We just couldn't do it. So in 2006, after Reverend Harris died, I associated a church called Universal Church of Truth. Universal Church is a spiritual church, metropolitan spiritual churches. Went there because one large LGBT population mm-hmm. goes there. Mm-hmm. Universal is the church that all of us who worked at churches in the daytime on Sunday morning, we couldn't serve. We couldn't get our praise on and fall out and shout and roll around like the rest of them, because we were running services. We basically either the chief of staff, you know, like I was assisting him, and I ran a TV ministry, so I had to make sure the broadcasts were being done every Sunday, the medium, the tapes and all stuff, videos being sold and stuff, and the other ones, choir work, same thing. So on Sunday nights, we would go to Universal mm-hmm. because Universal would do a Sunday night service. They have a choir, dude. If you haven't lived until you heard the Universal Church of Choir sing the Lord's Prayer. Right. Don't leave this side of glory without hearing them on a Sunday night. All right. And so that's where all the black LGBT people would go to church. If you didn't go there, you went to Mount Zion Apostolic, Bishop Lambert Gates on 38th and Emerson on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. But you went to Universal, packed out for every first Sunday, the first Sunday musical.
Where is the Universal Church?
3205. It's on 32nd and Orchard Street. 32nd and Orchard. The pastor now is Bishop Anthony Boyd. I'm gonna give you all these names, all these people, because they can give you more history than I can prior to me even getting here concerning the community. Mm-hmm. So we would go there. I would go there and get my spiritual energy. And he became a bishop. Payne at that time, as apostle, became a spiritual dad to me. And so I would hang out with him, go to his house, have dinner, and go to Agio. Agio was a gay restaurant on Mass Ave. Right, you know where Ralston's is at?
Yeah,
that was Agio. That was the gay restaurant for the city. The fine gay restaurant where you have the finer foods and all that stuff. And prior to that being come Agio, it was called Betty Boop's. It was a black gay bar.
I heard of Betty Boop's.
Well, that's Ralston's is where Betty Boop's and Austin's Agio originated from. Agio was a place that allowed gay businesses and gay fundraisers and gay things to happen. That's where you did all your fundraising from Indie Pride to all that stuff right there. Mm-hmm. So Bishop at the time, Bishop Payne, came to my store and said, "The Lord told me to tell you that you're gonna move." I said, "Really?" I said, What you mean? You're gonna move?" So I said, Well, he's like, "This is what you need to do." I said, "Okay," because they're spiritual, so they do things. See, if you ever study it spiritually, they do certain things. Yeah. Go get some Morton salt. And I need you to take the Morton salt. I need you to sprinkle it in the front of the door. You sprinkle it around the store, the back of the door. And then I need you to take it and turn it upside down on the highest shelf in the store. So what's going on here? Rick's like, "Do what he said, do." So we did it. So it wasn't a week later, Tom Batista, who owned that building down there, he had several businesses there, but they just weren't successful, said, "Hey, I got a space. I heard your landlord's trying to raise your rent over here, you can get 3,000 square feet for what he's trying to charge you for 1,300 square feet." I said, "Really?" He said, "Here's the contract signed. It's coming down, and we have to set it up." I said, "Okay, cool." I told Rick. Rick was like, "Oh, no, I'm not going anywhere." I said, "Rick, we got to go. We can't afford this, and it's too small, and the parking wasn't there because it can't start becoming popular, start growing, especially after they brought that dog on Starbucks over there, you know what I'm saying?" Mm-hmm. So we couldn't do it. So we moved down there in 2006. Following week, here comes Bishop Payne again. I said, "Payne, I'm not messing with you. What now? The Lord is going to give you a gift. Just receive it and accept it." "Okay, Payne." It wasn't 48 hours later. The Barnes and Noble bookstore, that was in Cirque du Monde,
yeah,
was closing down. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you came in to where we at, 922, all them bookshelves, all this stuff,
yeah,
that was Barnes & Noble.
Really?
Was given to us.
Whoa.
By the general manager. No charge.
How did, was he a customer of yours?
He was a customer of the gift store.
Wow.
And so I'm down there at the mall taking these shelves apart, crying, calling us, Payne, you don't get down here to see what the Lord has done for us. Look, you know, I'm a believer. I'm learning, at the time, being a Baptist, prophecy was hard for Baptist folks to understand and accept, because that's part of the fivefold ministry. But we believe in them. We believe in everything, but we have problems with certain parts of the fivefold. So now I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm.
So we get all this stuff. We go down there in 2006. We rearranged the store. I built that store for him. Rick didn't want to do it. I had to basically build that store out before Rick moved. And we had to move our store within 24 hours so we wouldn't lose customers.
Right, yeah.
So all this stuff. So for like 24 hours, boom, boom, boom. You're talking about being a tired person. I was tired. Got down there.
And it was just you two moving all the...
Everything. Oh. Everything. And we got down there and we moved and got everything set up. So that's how we got down to 922. But from 1980 to 2000, my activism became involved more in the gay community because I wasn't seeing people like me. All I was seeing was Indie Pride come to my store and say, hey, can you give $1,000 for Pride? We give the $1,000 to them. But we weren't seeing anybody like us at the event or at any little fundraising meetings, all that stuff. So I started getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and a guy named Brent Mather, white guy, we helped create this thing called the little charity for the gay teenagers.
And it's for IYG?
IYG.
Yeah.
IYG, who had problems raising money.
Yeah.
Because everybody was always stepping on their toes when they tried to have an event. They would try to have an event to try to... So Brent Mather and I, we came up with the gay calendar through the Gay Business Alliance. And we did this at our show. So we'd get big calendars like the size of that and had them all in the restaurant. And we invited everybody to this event and said, look, y'all fight too much over days. So this is what we're going to do. You go in, you pick a day for your event, you put on this calendar. We're going to create a calendar and start publishing this calendar each month or every 6 months so everybody knows what's going on. That's how the gay community got organized,
yeah,
literally, off the work of Brent Mather and myself, okay? And so we start doing this, start getting involved in more and more, and from there, I'm looking at the Pride events, I'm looking at the stuff, and I'm not seeing nobody like me. Back in the 90s and early 2000s, Rick and I being a biracial couple, we couldn't walk the streets in the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like that. They didn't like seeing black and white people. Yeah, they were very racist. They had to have special dinners called black and white dinners for couples who were interracial.
At
Agios? No, well, not at Agios, but at different people's houses and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Because the majority mainstream white gay community didn't like that. They didn't like seeing that. That was just, in the white mainstream here, I can't speak for the rest of the country, but I'm talking about here, only thing you and I were good for was behind the door sex.
Mm.
But promoting a relationship, promoting a culture or a lifestyle, that was a no-no. That was a no-no here. And so I started noticing, I started saying stuff, like, you know, start asking questions, fellows were like, why are you asking this question? You should be cool. We thought you were a cool black person. Cool black person back then was the black person didn't say anything, just kind of, you know, shiver roll. He dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was it. I wasn't a guy. Here I am, I'm at the largest black church in the city, the Civil Rights Church, under a Civil Rights pastor. I come from a civil rights background, from my grandfather's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All that pushed me to start pushing them.
Mm.
To say, hey, you gotta start doing things for us. Why are you not coming to my store? There's 25 board members. I only know 11 of you.
Mm.
You know? Where's the other 14?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? They're putting, 11's putting money in my pocket, but 14's not. But you're asking me to give $1,000 every other 6 months. You know, I'm not making my return back by you or your membership. Why aren't you coming to my store? Because that store, and I give Rick Cook credit for this, because he was a good public person. Mm-hmm. He knew how to talk to you. He knew, like I said, you come in, you can do the movies I like, and also, that was Rick. We made Mass Ave Video a place where those who are disenfranchised in a gay community, in a minority community, can go and be themselves. As weird as he was back in the day with your young self with them polka dots and them crazy hats you used to wear, I remember everything. I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. You was a little weird, little something. You would come to Mass Ave Video and you would be at home.
I sure felt that way, definitely.
Okay? And so from older folks who sat at home by themselves, it was their way to get out and meet people, mm-hmm. and you know, and hang with and talk to younger folks and couples, that were gay friendly or allies, also would come to the store. I remember we used to, before Little Music came on, we used to give our walls up to local artists to do art shows, and we'd sell their art for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I would call me up, okay, you got this picture wall for $1,000. They want to buy it. I'm selling it for $700. What? You're starving. Take the $700. You know,
right.
DJ music, you know, CDs and stuff. We used to sell those. Slater Hogan and I think that the black guy that died, that one DJ, light skin. He got a mural of him down in Fountain Square. We sold all these local artists, like local band stuff, would come and bring their stuff. And Rick, like, what are we doing? We're now selling CD. Yeah, and so that's how Luna Music. You wanna know how Luna Music got started? One of the guys came to the store and saw what we were doing.